We're going to look at the remedy for an anxious mind. The remedy for an anxious mind. Matthew 6, please, if you'll turn to the scriptures. I felt like shouting up to Pastor Glenn there, will you just quit it? Because he was going about manifest and the Creator manifest, and that's some of my points tonight. And I was going, you're stealing the thunder here. Oh, but sure, if you get it again, doesn't that just confirm it onto you? Anyway, but we'll see. I'll maybe just cut a bit of that out. But it just shows he was in the spirit. In the spirit. And anyway, we'll look at it tonight. And just while you're looking that up, if you get a chance for this evening, please do come along and bring someone with you. And let's keep that, because as you know, we're quite down today. But keep the work going here. And read Romans chapter 8 tonight. And you might say, what's that got to do with the Creator and the creature and the Christ and his cross? Well, it'll surprise you. And we're going to look at the power of the cross, and this is tremendous. And we'll look at it this evening in the Lord's will. Matthew 6, please. Verse 24. The Lord Jesus is the speaker. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We know the Lord will bless that portion of his own precious, inspired word. Let us pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for your presence with us today. We think of those who are still thrown into grief and mourning. And we ask you, Lord, that those who we have mentioned, and Lord, we ask you that you would draw close, that you draw near, and Lord, that you would, Lord, comfort them, Lord, that you would help them through these most difficult times. Lord, would you fill that empty seat, and Lord, we pray that you would draw so close that they would be aware of your presence. Lord, for those who are sick, we thank you for our brother Trevor out of hospital with us this morning, and others who are sick, Lord, we pray that you, Lord, would help them, that you would heal them, that you would move upon them. Those, Lord, who are away on holiday, we pray you'd refresh them. And Lord, we ask you, Father, so many we don't even know, Father, who's where, but you do. So we pray that you, Lord, would just bless them where they are, and Lord, help them in what they need. So, Father, for your word, we pray that you would help me, Lord, to bring this word, Lord, with carefulness, but yet with authority and boldness. And Lord, that you would help me to do it rightly to the glory of thy name and to the edification of your church and the help of those, Lord, who suffer with anxiety in the mind. So we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In our reading, the Lord Jesus speaks of taking thought five times. Five times the words taking thought. For example, in verse 25, he says, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. And that encompasses so much, I think. For he then expands a little on what he means. And then in verse 27 he says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? He says, you're not going to grow taller even if you're worried about it. There's nothing you can do about it. There are things that you just cannot change. There's things you cannot change, but there are ways in which you can cope and you can overcome. And then in verse 28, again he says, why take ye thought for raiment? Or he's telling them for the things we would generally even be concerned or anxious or worried about. Why are you worried about clothes and food and so on? He expands on that. Things we need in our generally day and daily living. And then in verse 31, he, with a gentle admonishment, he says, therefore, because you're more of worth than many sparrows and God looks after them and holds them in flight, so to speak, he says, therefore, you take no thought. And then in verse 34, he advises, he says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. Why are you worried about tomorrow when you're not there yet? But we do. Why are you worried about tomorrow? He says, tomorrow will have its own worries, its own requirements. And when you get to tomorrow, you deal with tomorrow. But why does today, you live in today? Now, the idea of taking no thought is not that the believer, the Christian, is to be clueless or dumb or thoughtless or ill-informed. Taking no thought is not that the believer is to be stupid or recklessly unprepared for life's everyday challenges and hurdles and duties. But rather, he tells us in Matthew 10 and verse 16, we are to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So we are to think. We are to be thinkers. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5 and verse 15 that we are to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So we are to walk and be aware of our surroundings. There's nothing wrong with being aware. We're supposed to be aware of what's going on around us. It's how we deal with it. That's the crux of the matter. How you deal with it. Taking no thought is not the Lord Jesus saying to the Christian, be brainless. Be useless. Be careless. He is not saying be lazy and through other, for everything will work out. He is not saying be lethargic in employment and be apathetic or indifferent to that which needs done and taken care of. Jesus is not saying the child of God should be nonchalant, meaning one who is so calm and so relaxed, it shows you've no care. We're to be wise. We're to walk circumspectly. So it doesn't mean these things. And taking no thought is none of them. That's not what he means in this. Because some people say, well, Jesus says take no thought then. Yeah, sure, that's all right. It's like prayer. I remember Pastor Michael Bunting years ago was preaching and he said, listen, he says, young man, you're praying for a job. Good. Keep praying for a job and go out and look for one while you're doing it. So putting legs to our prayers is part of what we do. And Jesus isn't saying, just be through other with this and don't worry. Lie down and expect the world to fall around into your plan of thinking. So this morning, this the remedy for an anxious mind, I'm saying this because it could be stress, and stress can change as your mentality can change in stress, by stress, and through stress. And that's how you deal with it. But stress isn't having a form of anxiety of mind, but can give you anxiety in your mind. But whether it's stress or no assurance even of salvation, and you've stressed over it, you don't know the word enough to be able to take it on board, or whether it's an assurance in life, or maybe it's your health, or your family, you're concerned about them, you're worried about them, you're stressed over them. Every one of us has been built in that either we have fight, flight, or freeze. That in these times we either fight it, we're in flight from it, or we freeze in it. Or we freeze in it. You might say, well, it's all right for you. You know, pastors don't feel these things. Do you ever get anxious, stressed, concerned, worried? Yes. Yes. Just like you. But it's how you deal with it. It's how you manage in it. I don't want to make this about us, but I want to tell you something to encourage you. To encourage you. As you know, Jody, our daughter, wasn't well, and she became gravely ill. The doctors didn't know what to do with her. Her lungs were filling with fluid. Her kidneys were failing. Her heart was failing. And they weren't sure with her pregnant with twins, is it preeclampsia? It is, it isn't, it is, it isn't, it is, it isn't. This is the way they were going. You're a puzzle to us, Jody. You've got, you have an infection, all this sort of stuff. And it was, there were three different teams constantly with her in the room for 4 weeks. She lost the power to walk. She couldn't get up, set herself up in bed. And we thought we were going to lose her. Alison camped out at her bedside. I wasn't allowed to stay at night because of the nature of things. She camped out with her husband. She was there morning, noon, and night, and came home and tried to get a couple of hours sleep. And this is why I'm not saying this as a sympathy vote. I'm not looking at that. I'm saying this to encourage you, church. They came one time, and some of the nurses, maybe, I don't know, Zara or Amy or some of the others would know more about this. But at some point, they were teaching, it was black and blue with tests and all sorts of stuff going on with her. And they took some bloods and they said, we're sending these to Newcastle. They mentioned the name of it. I can't remember the name of it. Because we don't do these blood tests here. And these are very important. But it takes a lot of weeks to get the test back. Well, at one point, we didn't think we were going to have her here to even see what the tests would say. So they took the test and off they went. And Jody got so ill. And then suddenly, you remember I said one Sunday morning, she started to improve. And the doctors came and said, Jody, you're a puzzle. Because if you have what we think you have, people don't recover unless the babies are birthed. And then, she's so ill, will she even recover? And she started to improve. And by almost about 5-6 days, she went for a scan and they sent her straight in the hub that says, now, go now, get this young woman in, birth these babies. This is why I'm telling you this. And Jody took even worse that night after her birth. Till she got to the point where she said to the doctor, I'm a dying. And he says, Jody, put it like this. At this point in time, you're our first priority. That's where she was. Yous were all praying. Others were praying. People were praying. Alison and I are driving home some night. Our minds are not even speaking. Our minds are numb. And all I could do was just, Lord, where are you? This isn't the prayer I've had for them, Lord. And my mind starts to get anxious. My daughter, is she going to make it? Now what about these two wee babies? Preborn, are they going to make it? And while Alison's in the hospital, I'm at home on my own. Can't sleep, walking the floors. Praying and praying and praying. Crying on to God. What is going on? Why is this happening, Lord? I don't understand this. This isn't the way I'm praying this. Now, here's why I'm saying that. And this is how long it's taken now. Jody got out 4 or 5 weeks off. On the fourth week, she was able to get out of hospital. Was it the fourth? Fourth week? Alison, fourth week? Out of hospital. Yeah. To our house. So she came to our house because she'd come in a wheelchair and she couldn't get up the stairs. And that wee girl went to bed and she got up the next morning. She says, I'm going to the hospital. She couldn't walk. I says, you can't. She says, Daddy, I have to go see my babies. And she's been there every day. But on Wednesday night past, we were in the prayer meeting. And there's a ministry in the spirit. And we were praying. And Andrew had mentioned them again to us. And he says, I forgot to put them on the board. And I went, look, Andrew, there's enough going on. These are praying for. And Alison's phone rang just as the prayer meeting was over. And we went out straight into the car. And every time we see the phone, you're like, oh, no. Because the babies have been struggling. Oh, no. And Alison phones. And Jody says, do you remember they'd done those blood tests? She says, yes. I just got the results of them today. After all those weeks. She says, so they've told me that, and Gail and other nurses could tell us better, but if whatever the scale is, at 38 in this scale, whatever it is when it's classes preeclampsia. And over above that gets more dangerous to whatever it is, up to 100 or whatever it would be. You could know more. Do you know what Jody was at? 538. And know what they said there? You shouldn't even be here. You should be dead. You know why I'm telling you that, brothers and sisters? Do you know why she's not dead? Because God heard the prayers of his people. That's why. Because God heard your prayers. And yes, my mind, I had to keep renewing it morning, noon, and night. And she's doing well. And she's up walking. And she's going on great. And for 5 or 6 solid days now, so are the babies. For a change, it was back and forward. They're up and they're down. They're in that intensive care. They're back out of it. They're in there. Well, fella was never out of intensive care. Still hasn't been. But they're telling us she might get out today. And then the HDU with her sister. Now, I'm telling you that to say this. When we go through things, it's how you deal with it. It's how you deal with it. Even when your heart is either in your boots or jumping out your mouth. Whether your eyes are wide awake and you can't sleep and your mind is going round in circles. It's not as Christians we don't go through things. It's how we deal with them when we do. It shows you this morning that the prayers of God's people, other churches were praying for. I've got messages from as far as New Zealand and Australia to Canada, America. Praying, praying. And we were just sitting there for all those weeks saying, Lord, please, give us our back. That's how we deal with it. And people thrown into mourning. How do we deal with this? Disappointment, disillusionment, you've been cast down. And the remedy is right through what Jesus said about taking thought. He's not saying we are to be clueless and dumbless and take no thought and don't pray about it and just lie there and don't get out of bed and don't make. He's telling us to make the effort, but to put our trust in him. And it's not we can't be anxious and or we can't think. We need to think of what we do every day. But this term to be take no thought means don't be overly anxious. Don't allow it to grip you, to grab hold of you. In other words, face the challenge one fear at a time. So many challenges, you'll not know which one to face. But face the challenge one fear at a time. And remember, as the old song would say, the old hymn, each victory will help you some others to win. To win. People said to me, especially Andrea and Glenn and Jeff, take the time off. What are you doing here on a Sunday coming to preach? Go and take what you need. Be with your daughter. I know what I said. Well, I can't sit like Alison sits around the clock. What am I going to do? Sit and stare at the wall and just hope everything turns out all right, you know? What am I going to do? Am I going to sit down in the down the road here at home on a Sunday morning when God's people are gathering together here, even though every worst fear is coming upon me? Am I going to allow this to rule my life? Or do I say, no, Lord, I'm not allowing this to rule my life. I'm going to continue on in service. I'm going to continue on seeking you, praying. I'm going to continue on in trusting you. That report that Jody got, 538, and the rest of it, it says kidneys, failure, heart failing, lungs failing. She shouldn't be here. And we knew she was so gravely ill. But I believed, and Alison believed, that God was still in charge, on the throne. And he's still the same for you, brother, and for you, sister. No matter what is going on in your heart, your mind, your life, your family, your worries, your concerns, your fears, your anxieties, he is still in control. How do we deal with it? Well, we're going to look at it in a moment, just briefly, because time's already flowing. We're going to look at it in a moment, and maybe just have to come back to it next week in the Lord's will. But first of all, here's something I want to talk about with people with anxiety. The thing was, even Jody suffered anxiety. I told you that before. She suffers with it. And do you see the whole way through this? The strength she's had. And she's turning to God in it. She's turning to God in it. And God has given her strength. And she's there. She's not wailing, crying, or running. She couldn't go to a cafe at times. She was so anxious. Couldn't leave the house sometimes. She was so anxious. She's at the hospital every day. She's sitting with her babies. She's there. And she's just going on. And it's been the prayers of God's people's done this. But for those with anxious thoughts, overly anxious thoughts are involuntary habitual patterns that exaggerate danger, predict seemingly catastrophic outcomes, or they can assume the worst will happen. That's what happens with people. And it's not that they're doing it on purpose. But remember, Thoughts are not always facts. And what do you think if that's you? Thoughts are not always facts. If you want to get facts and absolute truth, lift it and read it. Lift it and read it. Take even our very reading this morning. Wherefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. And by the end of it, he's saying, take no thought for tomorrow. Thoughts are not always facts. Constant worrying over your work or your money or your home or your health or over people. You know, people get anxious over what others will think about your performance or what they'll think about your look, how you look as a person or how you sound even if you speak. And over-anxiousness causes avoidance and leads to a persistent state of worry and an excessive feeling of panic. You avoid places and people and even avoid the house of God. You avoid the prayer meetings. Here's some things that we might say which may not be too helpful. Just calm down. It's all in your head. Those with anxious thoughts feel judged by this. They feel judged by it. Or other people have it worse than you. Well, then I'm not doing great. I'm doing worse than Leon. They feel judged. They feel that they are worse than everybody else. So they're even less than what they have placed themselves. Or what about you're overreacting or not again? This points out the obvious and puts pressure on them. And why can't you just get on with it and be normal? It puts shame on them. Puts shame on them. They feel ashamed. I can't be what people want me to be or what they think I should be. See, the mind is the part of us which thinks and feels and experiences emotions and consciousness. The mind in Scripture is used interchangeably with the heart. And the mind dictates, listen, moral character and spiritual direction and requires active renewal to align itself with God. If you're the Christian, you need. Once we get an alignment in our heart and mind with God, that's where we draw our strength as Christians. Listen, even moving from the anxious state, if you haven't prayed, let me use it like this. If you haven't prayed in a day or two, you know about it, you feel it. You feel it. Or you should feel it. If you haven't prayed in a week or two, your wife feels it. Your wife feels it. Because you change. Your attitude changes. Your thinking changes. Your mindset changes. Your heart changes. How you deal with things changes, situations. It changes how you cope, how you overcome, if you do. So the mind is a powerful thing, but prayer is where we need to be drawn into line, back into line with God. There's four quick points, and only is really quick points because we're closing here. Go with me to Psalm 56. I'm going to come back to this in the Lord's will next week. This was just an opener. Psalm 56. David here, king of Israel, is writing now, looking back at what happened to him when he was caught with the Philistines and the king Achish. David feigned himself to be mad, it says, and he spits down his beard and he claws at the doorpost as if he's mad. And the king looks at him and says, is this really King David here? Get him out of my sight. So now David writes. And he says to the chief musician upon Jonath, Elam, Rechit, Kim, Michtam of David when the Philistines took him in Gath. So that's what it's about. And he starts off and he's looking for mercy. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Even as I said, you can worry about man, what they think or what they might do. And you could worry so much it throws you into deep anxiety. But Christian, listen to me. Now listen to what we're going to say. You need to get this into your spirit. If you're saved and you're a Christian, your identity, your peace does not depend on what others think of you. Your identity and your peace depends on what Christ has done for you. That's the difference. It's what Christ has done for us. And this opening title, David is saying that it gives the idea of the silly dove afar off, that David sees himself now like a dumb dove or a silly dove, as it's saying, who has flown off, captured by the Philistines. Now he's let his testimony down. Now his mind is going, and now he's shown it unto the king of the Philistines, and he's kicked out like a dog. Boy, there's a perfect thing, how a person might feel and think they are themselves. But here's the 4 points. You read the psalm when you go home. You read the psalm when you go home. But here's the 4 points. First of all, verse 3, contemplating fear. Contemplating fear. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. He knows there's going to be a time when he's going to be afraid. He's going to be anxious. He's going to be worried. He's going to be concerned. And he says that what time I am, I know because of life and because of the way things are in life and the world in which I live in especially, I know things are going to come upon me. He says, so what time I am afraid. David was saying, although I'm anointed, although I'm a king, although I'm a warrior, he says, still I become afraid. Pastor, are you ever afraid? Yes, because I'm a human being. Yes. What time I am afraid, what are you going to do? Stay at home. What are you going to do? Not come out. What are you going to do? I'm not going to face it. I'm going to hide. No. David says, what time I am afraid, and he looks up and he says, I'm going to trust in you for everything. For everything. So he's contemplating fear. In verse 4, he's challenging fear. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. Notice, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. So now David's saying, I know fear will come to me, but I'm not going to allow it to overcome me. Things are true. Things are real. We do get worried. We do get afraid at times. It's perfectly natural, normal. The fight, the flight, and the freeze. Look, if I'm going to cross a road and I'm just going to be, take no thought, and I'm going to just walk out on the road, there's a good chance I'm going to get squished. I'm going to get killed. I'm hit by a bus or a truck or something. Is that right? Fear. There's a healthy fear that says, come to the edge of the road and look up and down to make sure there's no traffic before you cross. That is a healthy fear. An unhealthy fear is come to the edge of the road and you look up and down and say, I can never cross that road. And that's the unhealthy fear. And David says, when this comes on me, I will not allow it to overcome me. Because I'm going to keep looking to you, Lord. Thirdly, conquering fear. He conquers it in verse 11. Contemplating, challenging fear, now conquering fear. Verse 11. In God have I put my trust, I will not be afraid. Here it is a second time. So it's not the hiding, it's the challenging. It's the challenging of it. I will not fear. He challenges it. And then in verse 13, lastly, confidence in God brings no fear. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Notice, I'm delivered, I'm saved. I'm Christ's, I'm his. And even though things are raging, I'm looking to you, I'm trusting in you, I will walk in you, and I will conquer one fear. I will step out against one fear at a time. One day at a time. Take, therefore, no thought for tomorrow. Look, see you next week in the Lord's will. We're going to look at the different states of mind in Scripture before we get down into the nitty-gritty of Matthew chapter 6. The Lord bless his word to you this morning. I'm hoping that something there has encouraged you and even give you direction. Bless the Lord. Tim, would you come up, please? Time is flowing.